Welcome to Idle Red Hands, a podcast from Japan about gaming and gamer life.
Yes, welcome. I'm Lyle.
I'm Wayne.
And I'm Chris.
And this is what, episode number 2?
I believe so, although we keep changing the numbers. So.
All right.
Actually, I wrote down episode 3 here. So all right, I guess it's episode 2. So today we're going to be today's episode is Ode to Humanity. We're going to be looking at morality of an alignment. And it's just kind of funny because I guess if you're watching the news or listening to the news with those hackers that have attacked MasterCard.
Oh, the Wikipedia guys.
On behalf of the WikiLeaks. Yeah.
Or if
we don't like
nice
the Wikipedia article on MasterCard. Yeah. On behalf of Assange, or however you pronounce that, Julian Assange.
Yeah.
I can pronounce his first name. anyway, one of the hackers identified himself as chaotic good. Mm. I don't know if he's a force for a chaotic good or a chaotic good hacker. So that was kind of funny. He's kind of dating himself.
Yeah.
And just in case you're wondering, a hacker. Yeah. Yes, he is a nerd.
I thought it's funny, like the link you sent around.
Yeah.
I read the article. And then there was only about 2 comments when I read the article. And one of the comments was, I would like some more proof of the connection between him and D&D. Obviously from a person who had never played D&D before. And it's like, right there, him referencing Chaotic Good says...
Well, yeah, but in the article, they never said anything about D&D, right?
No, I think
defender of the system. He was worrying it was another, like, in the 80s.
Oh,
you know,
I don't know.
Associating, you know, like...
I did the
D&D
comment wrong,
criminal.
Probably, but it sounded like someone who had never played D&D before and said, like, I'd like to see a stronger connection. And it's like, how much
between the guys,
are you gonna get?
Yeah. Chaotic good?
Yeah, because, yeah, exactly. You're saying he's chaotic good. Kind of, you know, that's the link right there.
Did you guys click on where they basically broke down, or somebody else did, they broke down, like, the characters on The Wire, the TV show The Wire, and the characters on Mad Men? And which one is lawful good and who's neutral and stuff like that. That was really good. The Wire is really good because you actually have like evil characters and good characters. Mad Men, I think they had like one of the, I don't want to spoil Mad Men for anybody, but in the season 1, the wife of Don Draper, so she's chaotic evil.
Okay.
I was like, that's a bit much. Yeah, she didn't kill her kids and eat them. Yeah, that may be a little bit rude.
That's chaotic evil to me.
Yeah.
Kill your kids and eat them. Yeah.
Well, which she didn't. And that's not a spoiler or anything, because she didn't actually kill her kids.
Well, it's a spoiler. It's something she didn't do. So now, you know, we know that doesn't happen, so thanks.
Yeah. Wayne, why are we talking about this?
All right. We're talking about this because of a post I put on the White Wolf forums about my vampire character. It was after a session, and I went home and read the Blood, Player's Guide to Vampire, which is a very decisive book, or divisive. Yeah.
Trying to think anything White Wolf doesn't mean decisive.
No, it's divisive.
Yeah, it could be this, could be that. Yeah.
That people either loved it or hate it. So anyway, there was a line in there that said Deva could only stay at Humanity 8 for about 2 weeks tops because of their clan flaw.
Okay.
And I didn't think that was true because that's exactly what I'm doing, even though it may or may not have been more than 2 weeks in the game world. So maybe we've just hit the 2-week mark, in which case I've reinforced the stereotype. But yeah, I just didn't see that as a set given. And so I posted on the forum about that and got a lot of wrong answers.
Well, some would claim they're wrong.
Some would claim they're wrong. Namely me, the one telling the story, so therefore they are wrong. there were a few people who agreed with me, but the overwhelming or the loudest portion disagreed. Anyway.
Basically, that your guy couldn't sustain his humanity of 8.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, how about the vampire system? What is humanity 8? What is humanity 7?
Yeah, so how about we do this? You, maybe if you can, because you also run our Changeling game.
Yes.
And if you could just tell us maybe about the World of Darkness, Vampire, and Changeling.
Okay, so...
Them away in.
Yeah. So World of Darkness has a morality scale, which goes from 10 to 0, essentially. And the average moral human being is 7. And once you go above that, you start getting into the, I guess, realm of the super, well, superhuman, or as Lyle likes to say, more human than human. And obviously...
Didn't I get that from the book?
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
You just always say it all the time, so if you got it from the book, then you got it from the book.
Take credit anyway, man. That's good.
And,
yeah, I think they wrote, copied me. When they
were... Yeah, probably. And 10 is pretty impossible. And once you hit 0... you don't qualify to be a player character anymore. In other words, the GM should take your sheet because you're just so kind of heinous and...
Monstrous.
Exactly, monstrous. So, and then all the... I guess all the New World of Darkness do a variation of that morality scale and they just call it something different. So, for example, in Vampire, it's called Humanity. And... again, there was some debate as to what humanity actually meant. I saw it as, and I think they explain it as, kind of how much you relate to still being human. In other words, how much you can empathize with human beings.
Hence humanity.
Yes.
Yeah, hence humanity.
That makes sense, yeah.
And the one for Changeling is called Clarity, and it's a little bit different. And essentially, it measures how insane you are. Not really a morality one, but
that's very clear.
Yes, yeah. And, oh, yes. And I should put, did I mention that it's called Clarity?
Yeah,
I guess I didn't. Anyway, so yeah. So my vampire character is Humanity 8. In other words, more human than human. And what's your vampire character at?
Slowly sliding downwards. Is it what, 7 now?
Yeah, I think that was a very, very touching moment when you decided, when you went from 8 to 7, it was when you found out that you couldn't basically bait people into an alley to beat them up and feed from them.
I mean, it's like...
And you're like, what? Humanity 8 can't do that? Well, I'm 7 then. Yeah, let me change that word.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, it's funny.
It's a very touching, moving moment.
It really was. I shed a tear.
Yeah, the whole reason I ended up at 8 is because I made a mistake during character creation and thought the baseline was 8 for some reason and just left it at that.
Decided to go with it.
Real careful consideration here. Then you've been wrestling with it ever since.
I didn't decide to drop it.
Well, sorry. For definition's sake, like then, what would a Humanity 8 person do, or what would a Humanity 7 person do that a Humanity 8 person wouldn't?
Well, Humanity 7 is kind of like, if you want to look, it's sort of like the basic, you know, you're good, I guess, whatever that is, but you don't kind of go out of your way to help people, mm-hmm. I guess. So you probably have like a code that you follow. You know, maybe you give to homeless people. You know, maybe you don't. But basically, like I guess not to get too mechanical, but they have I guess sort of thresholds. They're called sins in the system,
yeah.
And they're actions that you take, and when you do them, you run the risk of losing some morality.
I see.
So for 7, it's petty theft, I think, is one of them.
Or luring people into an alley.
Or luring people into an alley and beating them up. Right?
Yeah, something like that.
Where at 8, any physical harm done to another person, accidental or otherwise, could cause you to lose it.
I think that's where some of the controversy or disagreement came up on your post, because didn't somebody say, like, a doctor couldn't be Humanity 8?
Yes.
Or a surgeon couldn't be Humanity 8?
So they were... people argued that, yeah, doctors, nurses who drew blood, surgeons would be around Humanity or morality, like 5 or 4, because of the fact that they potentially kill people in a botched operation or...
But he even said drawing blood.
Even drawing blood causes pain. Yeah,
it must be a delight in the hospital. Or his annual physical.
You monster! Yeah, yeah. That's where a lot of my disagreement came.
Get away from me!
What did you do? I took some blood.
Yeah, yeah.
Give it back!
Yeah, I think we came up with some.
That's actually some kind good of what somebody's like. No.
But so anyway, yeah, that's where the big disagreement on the forums came, and eventually, I just stopped posting because it had gone off on such a tangent that.
Well,
anyway.
Well, we're going to talk about a few systems, and one of the things we want to discuss, does that actual system need that? Does that actual game need that morality system? And do you think that would be appropriate for other games? Because some games, and I guess a growing trend, a more recent trend, is like they're not putting any type of morality system. I know some of the older games, like GURPS and that, never really had one. They would have like disadvantages or you'd be insane.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of systems would have some built-in, you know, you have an alignment or you have some sort of morality. So do you think it's this game needs it? Do you think any of the World of Darkness games need this system?
I do.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, and I saw kind of like there's about two kinds of games. Sort of a game where the moral ambiguity is kind of a center point of the game, and one where it's kind of not, where heroes are more sort of clear cut and black and white.
Mm-hmm. There's two kinds of people.
Yeah, there's two kinds of people, exactly.
One kind who uses there's two kinds.
Yes.
And the people that don't.
The kind that speak well. So in a game where you're kind of supposed to explore kind of gray zones, then I think a sliding scale like this is appropriate.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Something where your morality is ambiguous and nebulous and gray, you think that actually being able to put a number on it helps that?
Well, no. I mean a sliding scale along one track, as opposed to a classified, you are chaotic good, you are neutral, you are chaotic evil.
Well, I wouldn't argue to one or the other, but just thinking that kind of, I feel that sliding scale of morality, and I say morality specifically for World of Darkness,
right,
not for Vampire, would just be better without.
Because they do have, and one thing, just for the listeners that aren't familiar with the system, they do have the virtue and vice system, which is a lot better for, I guess, kind of like a good shorthand for what your personality is.
Yeah.
You've got the, you know, maybe your vice is greed, and maybe your virtue is faith.
Yeah.
For example, that's my change in character.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what you're using.
Yeah.
The counterist.
So I guess you have that kind of baseline for the personality, even if you need that. But but you think World of Darkness, Chris, doesn't need it, but
I think World of Darkness doesn't, but Vampire is served well by humanity, as is Changeling, because it's tracking how much of a monster you are in this monstrous universe. But I can see how close you are to being a human for a vampire being important, and like being able to track that because there's specific advantages and disadvantages of it. But what is a human then? You know?
But I find it, I actually agree with Wayne I guess I'm agreeing with you as well, because I think Vampire, the humanity system, serves the game well, because it does force the player. I actually think that system forces the player to explore their own morality and how close they are to the beast, which is like how they describe the closer you get, the lower the number, the closer you are to the beast. So by having that, and I think that's, and I think I'll bring this up later when we talk about other systems, if the system forces a player to do something and to explore and to role play a little more, then I think that's great. And I think humanity does that. For Changeling, though, I don't really get it's an insanity scale or whatever. But
The scale itself makes sense, but not when applied to your behavior.
Yeah, because if you have somebody who is a car thief, are they somehow more insane?
Exactly.
Just because you're willing to steal a car doesn't mean that you don't understand that stealing a car is wrong.
Right.
You just think, wow, I understand that society says it's wrong and it's illegal, but I just want to steal cars or whatever. It's not like you're crazy.
Mm. No, I guess I should reword that. It doesn't mean you're crazy.
Yeah.
And the Changeling book makes an explicit point of saying, this is not a system of morality, right? You can be a horribly amoral person and have a high clarity, or a very moral person and have a low clarity.
That's interesting then, because
why have six? I thought I had clarity well, 6 because I steal cards.
You do. What clarity measures is how much you can separate reality from sort of the fae world behind it.
Right.
And the reason 6 is stealing a car is because the character sort of...
Cars run on magic.
No. You have shown kind of no regard for the fact that this is another person's property.
Right.
You are becoming more like the fae keeper that took you, kind of violated you.
That sounds like a rationalization to
me.
It, well, that's the rationalization they gave in the book. And I agree. This is sort of why I am actually tracking morality as well in our Changeling game.
That's really interesting, though, that a White Wolf product like that would kind of forego its own morality system and saying this scale is not tracking your morality, but then it doesn't say to also track morality as well.
No, it doesn't.
So it's interesting.
I know why they did it. From like a system standpoint, all of the New World of Darkness games use this scale of 10 to 0.
Yeah.
And pretty much they all have the same trigger events in there. So,
but it's dumb.
On one hand, I know why they did it, because they want their games to be similar and all of them should kind of work together in some form or fashion.
Right.
But then, yeah, you try and shoehorn stuff like Changeling, where it's like, well, did you do that because it makes sense, or did you do that because all the other games have a similar action at that level and you want to keep it the same? So, I think it's kind of the latter.
Yeah.
And I've caught a lot of flack for that in the Changeling game.
Yeah, it works with Vampire, the Vampire Humanity Scale is so similar to a human morality scale, not with Changeling.
Yeah, but one thing with the... I guess then this is where the debate comes in humanity is like... is like, you know, some of the NPCs in my vampire game, you're like, well, that person does commit premeditated murder, but they have a reason, like, you know, they're kind of like the avenging angel or whatever, at least that's how they view themselves, and it came to the point in the story where some people actually agreed with his actions, you know, with very high, but I was like, well, what humanity do I give this guy? He is a killer, but he also protects children and things like that, and will do quite savage things to people that harm children.
Yeah.
So you would say it's justified, but when you just look at a scale, and it's just, of course, you have flexibility, and it's like, wow, you know, premeditated murder is pretty low. You're almost like a beast.
Mm. Well, I'll say like sort of similar thing designing like some of the Changeling NPCs, you give them a low clarity, and they're just going to be kind of like raving lunatics, you know, not able to tell one thing from another. So you could use the system to say, well, even though they have done these actions, they could have passed a few derangement checks, meaning they're a higher clarity or morality or humanity than the actions they've done.
Yeah, which is a good point, just because you have done that act, and that is actually in the system, is that they can resist it. Yeah. Actually, the higher you are, the better you are at resisting it. So
it is also the easier to kind of lose that your high number.
Yeah. But yeah, people do. Yeah, I wrote down, I don't know if this is too controversial, I wrote down abortion here. The point was, it's like...
Whoa.
We're going there already.
No, I guess the point is, like, you know, you have somebody who is, like, really, you know, against abortion. And you know, if this offends any listeners, sorry.
Listeners.
But, you know, if they were ever in a situation where maybe they had that choice... And then they, you know, they might waver. So they, you know, they're very pro-life, but suddenly they're in a bind or whatever. Let's call it that. And then they opt for an abortion or something like that.
Well,
I mean, they can still readjust or go back. I mean, you could say it's hypocritical, but you know, people's morality waver a lot. You know, I probably could have made that point without being something so controversial.
I was going to say, sort of...
Like stealing. Again, stealing.
Changeling aside again.
Well, how about rape, you know?
Oh, man, let's not go there again. Anyway, like, in the book, like...
Trying to explain where we went there before. You just said, let's not go into rape again.
It's just not. So anyway, so... I was going
to
say, in
the... Any law enforcement officials are listening to this podcast.
So anyway, when you make your check, right, when you pass that humanity or that derangement check, the system kind of says you feel bad about your actions and you kind of seek to atone for them. It's when you fail that you feel no remorse for the actions that you've done, and then you just become sort of more callous. So which I think is...
Yeah. Do you think the systems would be good for another game? Like, other games in general, or a particular game?
I don't know any particular game. I would say any system, sort of similar to what I said before, any system or story where kind of the goal is to explore those gray zones of morality. So in other words, maybe it would work in kind of like a horror or like Ravenloft style D&D game.
Oh yeah, I could see that. Yeah,
or maybe
I actually see that as better than the alignment system.
Or maybe not knowing that much about Dark Sun, maybe Dark Sun, if everything is a bit the feeling I get from Dark Sun is that it's more gray and less kind of bright and shiny. And I don't think it would work for a game in which the antagonists are supposed to be heroic.
Really? Even though being heroic could be... Part of being heroic would be like them keeping a high humanity or high morality?
Well, if that's the point of the story, then yes. Mm-hmm. If kind of the one of the themes or the point of the story is to have heroes maintain a high morality or this heroic status, then yes, it could work.
Yeah.
If it's going to be like a D&D game where it's kind of like fantasy, I think... No, I think the axis alignment system is better, where you can just say, you are good.
Yes.
You are evil.
Yes.
That's kind of all the explanation you need. Why are you fighting these guys? Because they're bad. Right? Why are you going to go into that nest of goblins? Not because they're goblins. They have, chaotic evil alignment or lawful evil or whatever. You don't want to have your players kind of sit there and like, well, should we go in? Maybe the goblins are just misunderstood. And if that's kind of the point of the game...
Yeah.
Then it will work.
Right.
If you're going to focus more on, kind of the heroic aspect, then I would say no.
I did a game once where it was a really small part, but it was early in the game, where they basically attacked an orc enclave, and after we found out that they were just the women and children, that the male orcs... weren't actually in the camp, so they basically just slaughtered a camp of defenseless orcs. So they kind of explore that. The idea of the adventure as it progresses is to explore insanity and what you're willing to do and things like that. So,
well, I think that kind of solidifies or backs up my point, because that was built into the story.
Yeah.
That was something you wanted to explore.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it would kind of be a bit of a downer, I guess, if you think you're in a normal dungeon crawl.
Exactly.
And you kill... a hook whore or something, and a little baby hook whore is like, Daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this is the third monster we killed, and we face this like children. Okay,
Yeah. That's I think Lyle summed it up better than
that. It's actually always interesting.
Where's
when something
that
like
we kill, oh my god. Again?
It's weird when stuff like that comes up in D&D, because it's happened on a few occasions. Like, I remember going through a dungeon crawl, hacking and slashing all over the place, and then killed a bunch of lizard men, and then there's a pile of eggs sitting there. One guy would be like, well, smash them, they're evil creatures. And one's like, no, they're defenseless. And it's just kind of thing you don't expect to come out of D&D.
Well, we discussed that with that goblin captain
on
we had.
On several occasions, yeah. Yeah.
Well, but I think that's because of our alignment is the reason we discussed it.
Well, I'm happy you guys went there, too. That's really good. It makes for a better story. But
yeah, like I was going to say, that's not to say that there should never be a moral dilemma in kind of a D&D or a classic fantasy game. But I just don't think you should overdo it.
And basically building in a system that's in like White Wolf games would maybe be overdoing it or make it too angsty.
It can.
A little too emo.
Hmm. Yeah, but then again, I think most of the onus is on the storyteller or the GM. Because they're the ones who are designing those dilemmas, and you put them in or you don't.
Exactly, yeah. That if it fits the theme of the story you're trying to tell, that's what's important.
Right. But... Well, speaking of D&D,
the axis system?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, well, yeah, compared... You were saying the axis system.
Like that transition, didn't you?
Like a rock tumbling down a hill.
Were we? Yes, you were.
Yeah. It's got an axis system where it bases good versus evil on one axis and lawful versus chaotic on the other axis.
Sorry, what version was this?
Everything before four.
Not necessarily. Like I was looking at it.
Oh, the early versions.
The early versions was more a scale, because it was kind of like chaotic evil was the absolute evilest, That makes sense. And then neutral evil, and then lawful evil, neutrals, all the way up to lawful good. And it never, because it never explained it as an axis, it kind of implied that there was, this was number one, and then it went through them all the way down to the bottom.
Oh, maybe it was, is it third edition, where they're like, lawful good is the most good because, da-da-da, and they explain.
Mm-hmm.
And lawful evil is the most evil because, or the worst.
Yeah.
Because, so the, in there, at least in third edition, they were trying to get away, like, chaotic evil is more evil than lawful evil. They were like, both of them are really, really evil because of this.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they kind of did that for every alignment apart from neutral.
Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's like,
yeah. So it wasn't
chaotic good is actually the most heroic because and explaining why.
Yeah,
you're not bound by the law, you're doing what you think is right. So.
Absolutely. Well, and within the law as well, which is different from doing what you think is right, say, chaotic good, regardless of what the law says. For example, hackers.
Like that hacker.
Yeah. But it's really interesting about now how they've gone away from that, and it's kind of, it hasn't gone back to a sliding two-dimensional thing entirely, but it's less of an axis kind of feel than it was before, because now there's lawful good, good, unprincipled,
unaligned.
Unaligned, thank you. Lawful evil, and then evil.
No, I think it's just evil.
Evil was just
so it's lawful evil. Good. Good.
Guys, unaligned. There's only like five of them.
Yeah, right. Evil and chaotic evil.
Yes.
So basically, they took two diametrically opposed points on the old 3.5 scale and just kind of went down.
Yeah, and I actually preferred the axis scale better. Though, because it had two different ways that you would deal with situations, depending on how good or evil it were, and also considering how much you wanted to follow the law.
Right.
I don't want to get into like an addition debate, but I could kind of see up the point of the alignment system in previous editions of D&D.
Yeah.
But now I don't. Like, why do you need?
Doesn't seem to need it.
I mean, they kind of got the system. One of the inspirations was definitely Michael Moorcock's Elric, because they had, you know, Elric, they had the Chaos God or the Chaotic Gods and the Gods of Law and things like that. And that plays a part in the stories of the Elric stories. So you could see, like, you know, having read that, and then you can see, yeah, there's definitely law and there's chaos and things like that. But now it's, I don't know.
Well, I was thinking about that today, and I think the reason they did that is to remove moral ambiguity.
Yeah, kind of similar, really black and white.
Exactly, kind of what I said before. Like the feeling it is like most 4E D&D players. I'm sure there are the exceptions. Kind of want to do hack and slash dungeon crawls and don't want to think about why they are killing
seems
what they are killing.
Wants to do that with the RPG thing now.
It's just go into the dungeon. Kill some stuff, get some treasure. Why? Because they're evil and we're good. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel bad.
I don't get it.
That's why they simplified the alignment thing.
You could still do that with the old alignment system, couldn't you?
You could, I guess, but...
Because, three of the alignments had good after the first word, and three have evil after the first word, so...
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
So it's still... basically saying good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting what you said just before about the gods of good and evil and such. That was I played a campaign...
Law and Chaos.
Actually, that as well. I played a campaign a few years back, where the DM had it set up where the gods were absolute pinnacles of these things. They're a lawful good god, can only act in a lawful good manner.
Right.
There's no choice or morality or ambiguity in the system at all. That's the only way that they can be. And it was really interesting about how like their angels and devils also had to follow that way. But it kind of, as it went down the line, as there was less power in it down to regular mortals, then they had much more freedom of choice. Yeah. I thought that was just a really interesting way to play. I hadn't considered it before. Because before that, I was a teenager. I just liked killing stuff.
Why? Okay, my beef with 4E was that the new alignment system did away with Planescape, which was my favorite setting.
Because
no longer have the laws, the planes of law and chaos and good and evil. And it's like, well, you got Feywild, Shadowfell, and...
Which does not say that those are poor stories.
No, I wasn't saying those were poor, but I liked Planescape.
Yeah, Planescape was such a rich environment.
Yeah. Going back to Elric, the plane of law, I mean, he goes to that world, and it's just very, very static. because it doesn't move.
Yeah.
Whereas the Chaos Realm is always constantly changing.
Yeah.
And that's where probably like
Elemental Chaos comes from.
Elemental Chaos.
Yeah.
I was thinking, Warhammer.
Oh,
okay. Games Workshop and their gods of chaos and stuff like that, and constantly changing and stuff.
Yeah, probably.
So, do you think that system would work for others, or would you recommend it? Either version of it.
Yes, actually, for any system.
We're waiting for the because.
because I think it's a good way to define
which people. One.
Both. The 3-5 axis system.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't think that the black and white feeling that you often get from D&D would carry over that well to other systems, but just being able to define your characters in two directions, law, chaos, good, evil, I think is a really good way to define a person.
Well, when you see it, like, again, like that wire, when they did every character in the wire, and you're like, wow, yeah, that guy is chaotic good. He is the chaotic good guy. And I guess, in one or two words to help define the character. I guess for a personality, it's fine. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, sometimes it's built into the system that if you deviate from that, there's an experience point penalty, or you can't change without a penalty. Yeah. And of course, they do away with that and say, okay, you can change without a penalty.
But I didn't like that. Yeah, that's one of the things, because even between players and their game masters, there can be different varying definitions of what a lawful good person would do. Mm. And to have one person impose a bonus or a penalty based on that seems a little bit odd.
Yeah. But just a tip for people, if you're playing a lawful good character, just have your society say that pain is not evil. And then it gives you a lot of latitude. So you can make Jack Bauer
lawful good.
Lawful good, as long as you have that caveat of pain is not evil.
Yeah, yeah. Hell, by that idea that Satan, where he's from, you know.
Well, I was going to say, one of the points I'd written down is I think that GM should reward players for playing in alignment. Especially in like a D&D system. And I'm not talking like mechanical bonus or anything. I'm talking mostly about like a story hook or something. You know, like you don't kill that goblin, or the guy sues for mercy and the lawful character doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
That's playing in alignment and kind of putting himself out there. So I think the GM should give some kind of, reward, even if it's like a very small story reward. And on the flip side, I think it shouldn't be a punishment, but playing out of character or out of alignment should result in what's the word I'm looking for? They should have to deal with their choices.
It wasn't on that.
Yeah, I wrote it down in short. Basically, like,
probably should have drawn a box.
Exactly.
No, get this guy a highlighter.
No, there should be some kind of consequence. Like, they should feel the weight of their actions of acting out of alignment.
I guess I can see that. And it also, like, just having a system where you're defining that person's morality, and again, one or two words, and it helps the game master know what he or she can throw at the player.
Right. So. And I was going to say, you shouldn't throw like too many of those at the player characters.
Well, I guess it gets into what are the players sitting down? What are they ready to do? Mm. And if they're coming, or what do they want to do if they want to do a dungeon crawl? And you keep throwing these morality plays at them. Yeah, it's going to get kind of irritating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, but if you're,
but you guys did kill that goblin in the end.
No, we didn't.
Didn't you?
No, we let him go.
No,
I think
really.
It's not our fault if we got killed in the ensuing battle, but
we basically used his broken leg or whatever and said that we would heal it if he gave us the information.
But
we wouldn't if he didn't.
I see.
Yeah. That's right. And somebody, not myself, would stomp on the leg.
Oh, yeah.
While he's thinking about it. While you're thinking about that, I am not happy with him stomping on your leg. I just want you to know. I want that to stop.
Because there was a goblin, there was an evil creature. It wasn't like you caught a person and were breaking his fingers. Oh, wait, no, that was another scene there, wasn't it?
Probably. No, I don't. Was there?
Ian was breaking the guy's fingers while you were asking the questions.
Yeah, I was asking the questions. I was trying to have get this torture stopped. Let's. All we need is an answer. All we needed is an answer. I was a good cop. Good cop.
So I haven't passed that many rewards in this campaign.
No, I'm not talking like really like tangible rewards. I'm just thinking like if you're like you said, some games now kind of don't have that alignment, mm-hmm. you know. But like if you are going to use an alignment, then you should make it kind of matter, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
And that's actually
mattering.
And that's fine. And if it doesn't matter so much, then there obviously shouldn't be benefits or punishments. But if you've got like a person who's playing a quote unquote lawful good paladin who goes around like, you know, beating up people, then he's obviously playing out of alignment and there should be some kind of consequence for his action.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree. Very much so.
That's all I was saying. Like, you don't have to give him like, you know, +2 to hit every time he hits just because he's doing something.
I guess I could see like really the amount of
out of alignment
or out of character stuff. I mean, that could be just reduced as, are you good or are you evil? And if you're not, if you're kind of doing like evilish stuff when you're kind of a good guy,
then
the game master. I think really that's all you would need.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But whether or not you're lawful good, not chaotic good.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like really like, okay, I'm breaking the law to do this.
Well, and again, I don't think that the GM should be like a nitpicker, right? Shouldn't be like, well, you wouldn't do that.
But I guess my point is, if you have a system that where you're defining it like it lends itself to nitpicking.
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas if you just said, okay, you're either good or you're evil. And a lot of systems do that. Are you a good guy or are you a bad guy?
Which is fine, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's enough because you're like, ooh, that's kind of like bad guy stuff you're doing, you know. You know that. You know, like standing over the corpse.
Yeah,
you're like, what? What do you mean? He's like, come on. Well, there's no alignment system. Yeah. Like, well, come
he
on.
He gave you the answer. Do you really have to keep dumping gasoline on him?
Yes.
Well, how about some other systems? You have the hero book in front of you there.
Sorry.
Under the
so
staff.
Do you. yes, I do. let me find it. Yeah, the Palladium system, you know, it's a product of the 80s, so...
Big hair?
Yeah, big shoulder pads. Yeah. So they have an alignment system.
Oh, it's the same as this one, then.
Yeah, all of them have the same system.
Huh.
Yeah. So, what I like about it is they divide them into, like, good alignments, selfish alignments, and evil alignments. But I like selfish, because I mean, you're not necessarily evil. So,
as it says right there.
Yeah. So, well, I'm not claiming to. I'm making this up.
Man, these guys are just taking everything from you.
But I like. I mean, it gives people a clear opportunity to play the
selfish bastard.
Selfish bastard or the anti-hero and things like that. But what's interesting is like, I guess some of the complaints that we had a little bit, although we like the system, but with the humanity. System is that it's just one line kind of sums it up, which lends itself to a lot of debate, which is good. But then, you know, somebody's like, well, you can't keep your humanity abate because of this. But here, like, basically, there's like 13 points, 14 points, and that basically, like, a scrupulous character will
I
keep
like
his word to
much.
Other person, lie only to people, and basically covers a lot of territory here. Never harm an innocent, never
for
torture
each one
for
it has
pleasure.
Like a code of ethics.
Or even say, never torture for pleasure, but may use muscle to extract information from criminals or evil characters and things like that. So, there's a lot less ambiguity. It clears it up. So basically, you're playing the alignment system, and you were saying, like, what one person's definition of a lawful good is different than another person's definition of lawful good. I think there'd be a lot less of that in this system. What do you mean? Like, look at point number 8. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is one of the clearest and nicest systems of alignment that there is.
That said, I think it's about as valuable as the D&D alignment system. So I don't think it's really needed.
Can I ask, is there some kind of drawback to breaking one of those points? If you were, say, scrupulous and you did lie to someone, would something happen?
It's been a while since I played it, so...
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. I don't know if there's, like,
I just
printed
it out this morning.
An experience point penalty or whatever, but...
Because I guess there's no inherent penalty in World of Darkness with morality, other than the fact that you know your character is now morality whatever.
Oh, then you could become insane and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Oh, well,
doing those actions and
oh, I
like
suppose
that.
That's right. I kind of forgotten about that. But I meant like there's no like there's no penalty to like a skill or anything like that. But yeah, I guess you could.
I guess for the answer to that question is I guess playing in character, and if you have an alignment system that doesn't have like virtues and vices and stuff like that. I mean, it's basically your personality.
Right.
You know, I'm principled. That's kind of like my personality. I'm playing in character.
Yeah. So there's kind of like a role play tool then.
Yeah.
Which,
But yeah, I guess so. But do you really need it? And also, like, you know, somebody's character can evolve.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. So.
Yeah, and characters should be dynamic. That's great. To start with an evil character who turns good, or vice versa, can be a very interesting story.
Hmm.
But again, that depends what kind of story you want to
do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I guess when having so many points, not only are the game master and the player on the same page,
mm-hmm.
or more likely to be on the same page, but then the game master has, like, oh, he for his unprincipled player,
mm-hmm.
He's got 14 points to kind of play with.
Yeah.
You know, keep
mm-hmm.
his word of honor. So, hey, that's something, like, almost like 14 hooks.
Yeah, yeah.
If you
Whereas,
will.
Yeah, with World of Darkness, you got about, like, 3 for each level.
Right.
Because they only give
you
about 3 descriptors or 3 actions that'll
yeah, and with the
trigger
end, none.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they explain it. Like, sometimes they'll use, like, the water analogy, if you, or gold, how you would divide the gold. But they're always trying to explain how they do, how the characters would react in different situations. And I think just because they don't do something like Palladium did and just, like, list.
Yeah.
So I think Palladium doesn't have to go,
well,
okay, if you have gold,
like
how would the neutral player...
Mm-hmm. That was the old, like, 3.5 version. They did a little breakdown of the party after an adventure and, how they divvied up the gold. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Hmm. So yeah, I think it's about as valuable as the D&D alignment system, which means not so much.
I don't know if this is
I wouldn't necessarily
say it's good.
Port it into another system.
I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but I really like the names that they give in the Palladium system. Instead of saying like lawful or good, they have principled and scrupulous, unprincipled, anarchist, miscreant, aberrant, and diabolic.
Yeah.
And those are so much better words than good and bad. Because it just that word alone gives you a much better image of what kind of a person you're playing, assuming you're following the code like that.
Yeah. No, I definitely. I mean, if you know the difference between principled and scrupulous, it is pretty.
But also, yeah,
it is much clearer. Like you're not kind of coming in like chaotic, good. Well, what does that really mean?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe when that hacker's throwing that out, you know, I'm chaotic good, and everybody's like, why? Well, why wouldn't you just say Robin Hood? You're like a Robin Hood or something like that, you know. Maybe it's kind of sad if, like, Robin Hood is no longer the, you know, kind of a
bad
cultural touchstone. You know, we've got to, like, bust out D&D or something like that.
Well, Robin Hood's coming back.
I guess it's coming back. Yeah. With a hammer. Without a bow.
Yeah, I can't look at those previews without thinking Gladiator.
Yeah. I'd like to see the movie, but, yeah. But another game that I play DC Heroes, and I'll be introducing these guys to DC Heroes next year.
Woot.
They use a motivation system, and I actually really, really like that because it's basically, I think, and you're talking about with the Palladium, where it's very clear to even an outsider exactly what that means, you know.
Yeah.
It's not using some obscure references, but basically like upholding the good. That's my character's motivation. Why am I doing this? I'm upholding the good.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing this? Responsibility of power. So I have power, you know.
With great responsibility, great power.
Seeking justice.
with
other than this unwanted
power.
So you're more reluctant. Mm. There's the thrill of adventure.
Yeah.
So so I think that it's very broad, like thrill of adventure, but that's always kind of shaping that character.
Mm.
That's their motivation. Why are they there? You know, I think the player has a lot of leeway in what they can do with it. But it's very clear to everybody, you know, what is in character, not a character. And then of course there's like more evil people, like you're a mercenary, you're a nihilist, you're powerless, you're psychopathic, which was quite broad.
But that's for more NPCs, hey? Or the villains?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a hero system. But yeah, if you had, like, you could play a hero who's a mercenary, like, why are you here? You're just like, look, as long as the money's coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got the money, I got the time. We'll play Honky Tonky Baby. You don't know that song? Yeah. I think it's quite a cult song. You got the money, honey. I got the money.
When turn into a karaoke podcast.
Yeah, right. Right. All right.
No, I was going to say, it's kind of funny that...
That ended quite quickly.
Yeah.
But I think, actually, of all the systems that we've talked about, I think the motivation system is the most portable.
Mm.
And you could apply it to any game. You could put that into D&D.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have your party. Why are you here? And you could be... Thrill of Adventure would be one of the characters in our current D&D party. Unwanted Power would be your guy, Wayne.
Mercenary would be Idril's character.
Pokey, yep, definitely.
Oh, I was thinking Thrill of Adventure, but I guess Mercenary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How about Marius?
Seeking Justice would be Tom's character.
Yeah.
Marius probably be upholding the good, maybe.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then that would be, you know, I could torture people because I'm upholding the good. So...
It's funny that you mentioned that the motivation because Hollow Earth Expedition uses motivation as well.
Yeah,
is it a similar kinds of one?
I'm not exactly sure how. No, they're more like one word, such as like faith, duty, honor, responsibility, survival.
Oh yeah, I was looking through that, and it did remind me of DC Heroes.
Yeah, and it's I'm not knowing how DC Heroes works for motivation if that's alignment. The Hollow Earth Expedition is more like a motivation and the World of Darkness's willpower thing combined into one.
Hmm.
In other words, when you have your motivation affect the story, or you follow your motivation, you get kind of like a style point, which allows you to boost a die roll or do something else. So,
interesting.
Hmm. Oh, so that's the like a real tangible reward.
Yeah, it's a real tangible reward that can be used for multiple things. But it's not only like sort of when you follow your motivation, but for example, if your motivation was like duty, you would also get a style point when you sort of make someone else stay true to their word.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
So it's not only actions you do. Bless you. It's it's a bit more broad than that.
Out of curiosity, you were talking before about White Wolf, how it's the sliding scale is good because it's such an ambiguous system. Do you think this motivation system would work well with White Wolf?
Not really, because I already see White Wolf's motivation things as the virtue and vices.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, I think they would already have that.
Okay. Yeah, it seems.
And again, because White Wolf, I think, because you know when you play a vampire game. It can very much, as they describe in the books, it's not original. Not a vile original. But it basically, they say it could be basically just a dark superhero game. And people just, you know... but the humanity forces people to actually... Look, this is a constant struggle every night. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, they need a bit more heavy-handed system to kind of force that. And if players don't want to do that, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But then go play a different game.
Yeah. I was going to say, you might as well. Something.
Just get out. Yeah, we don't need you. You don't want to explore this.
That's what reinforces the White Wolf players as RPG snobs.
Yeah. Did you not see the pictures? Come on, dude. We're exploring stuff.
I don't want to explore.
Yeah, I don't want to explore.
I'm going to kill stuff.
So
which one's your favorite?
Wow. I mean, like, asking me to choose between my children. But obviously...
Absolutely, little Bobby's the best.
Obviously, the redheaded stepchild is the D&D one. No, I probably... My least favorite are the ones where I can see them just doing away with it. And that would be Dungeons & Dragons with the Palladium systems, where I can see just are you good, selfish, or... Mm. Are you a hero, anti-hero, or villain? You know, we do that. So, I really, really like motivation.
Yeah.
Because of its versatility. And I could just see using that for just about any game, except for White Wolf that has its own, I guess.
Then again, I was going to say White Wolf, but it's kind of hard to strip away it's hard to look at only the humanity or only the morality scale without the virtue and vice mechanic.
Yeah.
So... I guess without that, then I don't know. A motivation one would probably get my vote.
I like the concept of White Wolf the best, but I don't think that it's executed as well as it could be. Because, like, you can go on a two-page forum, you can go on a forum and debate for 2 pages on
more than two pages.
Exactly what
but then
is
again, it's the internet, a, so you can go on any forum and debate for 2 pages.
The problem with that was, well, I'll say this, like, what was it, like, Heroes?
Unlimited.
Heroes Unlimited had the very clear-cut
14
points. This is what this style person will
I
do.
I bet you people would be, still be able to parse words.
I'm sure they
would. Of course. This like, semantics can be brought up in any
whenever
conversation.
Whenever possible.
Yeah.
Whenever possible.
I don't feel like it, so it's not possible.
Yeah, the thing that got me with the humanity discussion was, since the White Wolf things are so vague, you can't follow the letter of the law, so to speak. You have to follow the spirit.
Yeah.
Which is why I vehemently disagreed that a nurse who takes blood would not have to make a humanity 8 check.
But I can also see the opposite side of that argument. If there's someone who's that averse to causing pain, even if it's helpful for someone, then they
like
might not want to cause
blood?
Pain.
Like how much pain? Like how?
I didn't say I agree. I didn't say I agree. But I can see the other side.
I think.
I think just what anyway, suck it up.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
No,
I'm just taking a little blood here.
That,
why are you a nurse?
Yeah. Why are you a nurse? But we took that argument to kind of like, you know, extremes. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if that's the case, then, you know.
Oh, we had it where Jesus couldn't be.
Yeah, Jesus couldn't be humanity 8. Morality 8.
Because.
I forget
what was
the
argument.
Thing.
It was good. It was good.
Yeah, well, or the one I came up with was that.
Oh, because he causes, like, mother pain, knowing that he had to sacrifice himself. So, you know, we should really stop throwing out these controversial, or I should stop throwing out these probably didn't need to have Jesus as the example.
Yeah.
No,
I was
like,
I
didn't
was
need to
say,
have abortion as a previous example.
You could take it mundane. I argued that an infant.
No, we've already jumped off the cliff, man.
All right, I argued that an infant would
Jesus
have to
one,
make a morality 8 role. Because
kids don't
but he's causing the mother pain as he's being born, right there, causing another pain. You have to make a check.
Yeah. Well, kids don't have morality.
Yeah, that's pretty.
I guess we're gonna have to go back to Jesus.
Yeah, then I was gonna say, okay, the father, the father should have to make a morality check because he's directly responsible for the pain
that
the mother is feeling.
That was knowing.
Yeah,
premeditated.
Knowing, right?
He knew what was going on.
Exactly, which I think is pretty ridiculous.
I see.
Yeah.
So anyway, you want to go back to Jesus now?
Well, the point was he causes like his Mary and his followers a lot of personal pain because you know they have to watch him die.
Yeah.
So and he kind of knew everything what was going to happen in the process, and he had to do that for people's sins.
Yeah.
Here at Sunday school.
Yeah,
and
it is Sunday.
It's actually
it is
Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, it's quite appropriate.
Except why Jesus was not meant to have morality aid. No, I agree. I very much think that's dumb.
Yeah. That was a point.
I think I'd like to see something. I don't know if it would work or not, but something like the Palladium system, where you have more of a code of ethics applied to a scale in White Wolf. I wonder if that would work.
Well, I don't know. What do you mean?
Well, something like you have this scale here of Palladium, where the principle, the most good people, as they list it, they always keep their word, avoid lies, etc., all the way down to the diabolic ones who don't keep their word, they kill freely, etc.
Yeah.
If you applied each one of these steps to one of the numbers on the White Wolf scale, give a better definition of it. But then again, also, that might...
But then again, that would be 5 pages. Of...
Yeah,
that'd be a lot of pages. Isn't
that, it's very true, it would. And also, it would more clearly define each step on White Wolf, and one of the nice parts about the White Wolf system is its vagary, that it's not a step, it's a slide.
Well, I agree. Also, I was going to say the...
I'm kind of pretty proud of that line, actually.
That's pretty cool. It's not
step. Put that in the book.
It's slide.
Yeah, kind of like the virtue and vice system, like both our vampire characters have the same vice, but we care about different things, we approach them in different ways.
Yeah.
Pride.
Yeah. No.
And, I think that while while there isn't a code inherent in there, that's something the player could come up with on their own, which we have kind of done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, not an explicit code, but you know, you said your character's pride only triggers on like certain things, whereas mine triggers almost all the time. But anyway,
yeah, it makes you kind of assy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, do you think, like, I guess final question, do could you basically, you know, if you just had, like, are you kind of a hero? Are you kind of villainous? And could you basically, you could still do a morality challenges.
Yeah.
You know, you just, I mean, there's just certain basic things. Mm. If you're kind of a heroic group of people, that will kind of push your morality. You know, the villain, you know, like at the end of the movie 7 or something like that, you know, do you kill the guy? You know, he's killed your wife. And
yeah.
Well, maybe that's a bad example. Actually, that might make a case to have an alignment system that's quite stratified or really delineated, because then you're like, most people just say, you turn that anguish moment into basically, yeah, I can't do that. You know, just bam, shoot him. But where if you have like, no, you know, your motivation or something is upholding the good.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, you're not here, you're not a thrill seeker or things like that, or seeking justice. You're here for your lawful good or things like that.
Well, I was going to say, I guess...
All right, I just contradicted myself. So, alignment system's great. Bring it in.
Upholding the good, you know, that you would cap the guy then because he's evil.
No, I see upholding the good as making sure he gets up. He goes to jail.
That's why.
But then again, how is your character... Is it consistent with the way you've played your character? So if something like throwing a moral challenge at somebody quite early actually might be pretty meaningless, because
unless you want to help them define their character.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
Get a baseline.
All right. I'm just going. All right. Take back what I said again.
no, but I know where you're going.
But if you want like that really rich role playing experience at the end, you've got that thing that challenges not necessarily what those two words on the character sheet says, but how they've played their character.
Or however long.
Yeah, and the guy's like, "Well, I would kill him," and then you're like, "Yeah, you can discuss it afterwards. All right, you kill the guy," and then you're like, really, you would have done that after all of that? You basically walked the pure line, and then you're just so deal with that.
And even more,
that's inconsistent, not with what's written in this book. You know, it's not an internet forum. It's not a page in a rule book. This is inconsistent with how you defined your character.
Yeah. And not if somebody else decides to go that way, then just like you said, Wayne, to go with the consequences of that. How does he deal with this?
And then force the player to do that. Mm. And it's like, okay, have you made a radical change?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start to explore that in the future.
Absolutely.
Future games.
Yeah, in a definitely do as I say, not as I do. I don't think the GM should ever say, no, you can't do that because of something based on alignment.
Well, definitely, yeah.
Right.
The GM should just never say that to a player in general, I think.
That's why I said do as I say, not as I do.
Cool.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that went pretty well.
Well, we'll wrap it up. Coming up next, actually, we're going to be talking about Le Grand Experiment. We're going to be talking about an experiment we're doing, a big project we're doing next year with a bunch of mini adventures where we explore different systems and introduce different systems to each other and just try to have a lot of fun. But cool. We're going to be talking about that next episode, next week. So definitely tune in for that, just to find out about the project.
Yeah.
All right, hope that you'll hear from us. I really got to work on this.
Yeah.
I really got to work on the sign-off. All right. Well, goodbye, everybody.
Thanks. See ya.
Idle Red Hands, recorded in Kobe, Japan. See us online at www.idleredhands.com. Music provided by Tripod Jimmy, and the song was Roadkill. Hope you enjoyed it. See you next time.